recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's daf in Masechet Me'ilah, which is really Masechet Tamid, is daf Chaf Chet, and we had just finished Rabbi Yochanan's praise of how great it used to be when people really cared and when there were standards of behavior, and so we continue today with the following. Tanya, this is about a fourth of the way down. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Ezo hi derech yisharah sheyivor lo et ha'adam. What is the path that a person should choose for himself to be like, which will allow him? He should choose ahavat ha'tochachot. To be ahavat ha'tochachot, he should learn to love people who set him straight. She calls man she'tochachot ba'olam nachat ruach ba'al olam. As long as people are not just backing everybody to do whatever the heck they want, and there are standards, and people are open about other people's failures, and people are anxious for criticism, so then tova uvracha ba'in la'olam. There's first of all nachat ruach in the world, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect perfection, but he does expect people to be searching for perfection. So this way there's a nachat ruach. There's good, there's blessings that come to the world, and gradually ra'a mistaleket min olam, and the evil is defeated. Shemar, as it says in the pasuk, vila mochichim yinam ve'aleihem tovo birkatov. Those are mochiach, things will be sweet for them, and berachot of tov will come around. That's one approach. That's Rebbe's approach in how to look at yourself. Others say what a person should most focus on is to be yachazik be'emunah yetira. A person should be completely and totally straight, faithful. His word is meaningful. His responses are real. Shinemar einai, I look at ne'emenei aretz, la'shevet imadi. And that's holech b'derech tamim. Somebody tells the truth to someone because he cares, not because he's trying to get brownie points for himself. He becomes directly associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own place in the world. One who is mochiach actually is follows me. Not only that, but he actually ends up being liked by people because of it. And that, of course, is a special chut shel chesed that's given to him min hashamayim, as it says, shenemar chein imtza, such a person will find favor in people's eyes even more mimachalik lashon than one who keeps his tongue always licking. You start off by saying that whoever wants to be terim, the mizbeach should go to the mikveh. Now that sure sounds like the guy who wants to be terim, the mizbeach, goes to the mikveh and goes in his terim, the mizbeach. I mean, why else is he going to the mikveh? But that means that it's up to him, right? And then you say, okay, then the mumuna says, all right, let's have a lottery. So it's our gufakash. But it sounds like one of these come on ads, you know, which they say, you know, you won after you entered the lottery. You won the right to enter the lottery. You know, what is going on over here? So first you say, which is mashma, that you're going to be all ready to go do the job. Before this guy gets involved, I'm a lot of pious Talia Milta, so it has nothing to do with a lottery. And then you say, and in walks the man, and he says, Yavovi Yafayes, I'm a Bifayas Talia Milta, that it is dependent on a lottery. Rabbi, well, the truth is that the Mishnah is a reference It's a gradually built-up Mishnah. And the first part was said before the takana of the pious. The kan kodim takana, kan miyacha takana. And that was the famous Maisa that we know from Yoma, where it says, Rishona. Indeed, it used to be that kol misharotzeh l'tromet ha-mizbeach torei, that you could choose. There weren't so many people that were competing for the honor. And if there were more than one person, so then you raced each other. So bezman sheim merubim ratzim v'olim mekevesh. So the kevesh up the mizbeach would be the racing platform. And kol hakodem et chaviro betoch arba amot zecha. If you got to the arba amot near the mizbeach line, then basically you were the first one won. If it turned out that there were more than one winner, that was the only time that you had the pious in those days. So if Ayushnaim Shavim, then the Mimuneh would say to them, okay, stick out your fingers, Hatzbiyu. And mine Motziin, they would be Matzbiyah, either one or two fingers. And of course, that made it easy to count fingers instead of counting. You're not allowed to count people, but you can count fingers. And the Gemara there says that if it's difficult, someone wasn't well, it's hard for him to control his fingers, only to stick out one, it was easier to stick out two fingers. But Lamaisa, that made that you really and truly are counting fingers instead of people.
But each is one count.
No.
Puts
out
one finger.
No. That would be the thing. If Lamaisa, you would stay. Yes, in reality it is that way. But what it is that you are looking for is not to focus on the person. And this is the reason that Ein Motziin Godol B'Mikdash. This is why you don't stick out a thumb. Because if you would stick out a thumb, it's too easy for you to manipulate. A thumb is easy to hide. So if you're sticking out two fingers, if you see, he would choose, the way that they chose up is that he would choose a number. The Mamuna would choose a number at random and take a mitznefet from somebody's head, put it in somebody's hand, which was the place where you started from. So somebody who, let's say, the fourth time around, as you were going around the circle, would see that the number is getting closer, it's going to land on the next guy, could stick out a thumb, and that way he would actually manipulate the count. So because of that, Ein Motziin Godol B'Mikdash, you did not use a thumb. In Maaseh, there was once a story where Shtayim or Yuratzim, Shavim, Yuratzim Volim Bekevesh, V'dachaf Echad Mim Betchavero V'nishbar Raglo. One time they were still running up side by side, and one of the Kohanim got tired of this and pushed the other guy off of the Kevesh, who then broke his leg. Which, of course, is nowhere near as bad as the guy who took a knife and stabbed the other guy in the heart. But as the Gemara says, I mean, that seemed to be an unusual story. But when it already got to this point where people were pushing each other, that's already more something to worry about. So they were mevata the competition. Of course, we should learn from here to cancel the football games. Yeah, I mean, soccer, for those of you who are, in the States. You know, say after all the people get killed after every game and so on, Bezda made a takana to shut down the stadiums. Anyway, so how do you explain the fact that it says Shaloy de Pais? That was before the takana. When it says Bova Fisa, that means after the takana, Shaloy told me, but I was very old Pais. So this is a Pais. Rova says it's very simple. You don't need to say that the Mishnah is an archaeological layered Mishnah. It's perfectly okay to say Mishurotze Lavo, meaning Lavo to be Mifayes. Doesn't mean that you were already Zoche because you wanted to be, but what it does mean is that we don't wait for you to be ready. You have to go to the mikveh before. We're not, no intention, you're going to go straight from the pious, the winner goes straight to do the job, and therefore he has to be prepared. So only people that are ready to work are going to be able to enter the pious. That's what it means. Meaning, continues, the Elik HaMishnah, our president can even tell us from deep inside.
Zokta Elik HaMishnah.
I have a question. I mean,
the problem was that you were mashkim v'tovel, and then you do it, and there's no other factor involved, not pious, not anything else. Abaye said, okay, pious wasn't involved. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's race that wasn't involved.
No, but that's only if there were more than one. The norm was that a guy would say, he could select himself. That was his mancha, human little being, they would do that. But then it would be natural to say. It apparently wasn't such a desirable thing. There was a period in which there were not Merubim, so no problem. Natala da Mafteach. So then he would take the Mafteach that was being watched over by the Ziknei Beit Av, as we said before. And there was a particular safe for this that was made out of the Shayish on the Ritzpah. So they had an underfloor safe, and he would take out the keys, and then it would open up the small pishpesh that we spoke about earlier, which was the smaller door inside of the shar, and would be nichnas mibet ha-moked la-azara, v'nichnasu ha-kohanim achara. So then the memunet would open up the door after doing the pious, they would follow him in, and they would be carrying torches, two torches, and they split into two groups at this point when they got in, and they would be nechlekul l'shtekitot. So elu me'alchim b'chadra derech mizrach ve'elu me'alchim b'chadra derech ma'arav. One group, when they came in from the Beit HaMoked, would head east, and one group would head west and would walk underneath the veranda, which we assumed at this point, we're going to fix that later, but we assume at this point was made out of wood, as typically an achsadra is. And we're going to ask, but I thought you weren't allowed to build with wood structures in the Beit HaMikdash. It's going to turn out that it's a veranda that's made out of stone, sort of like a Spanish patio kind of thing, or Italian veranda kind of thing. So here on your map, take a look at the Beit HaMoked. You walk in from the Beit HaMoked through the Kodesh site, and you walk around, one group walks around this way, all around, the other one walks around this way, all around. And if you follow the path, you see that the ones that are going towards the east will arrive at the Shar Niknor, obviously, before the ones that are going to the west will go all the way around. And at Shar Niknor, to the left of the entry of Shar Niknor, was the Lishkat Osei Chavitim, which was closer to the southern side. This is the Lishkat Osei Chavitim. You can see it very clearly on the map you've got there in your PDF. And that was the place where they would meet. So, of course, the ones that went east would get there first. They would wait for the other group that went around west. Meanwhile, those that were going around would basically be the watch and would report, and all is well, which is the derech of a watch. So they would check to see that everything is in its place and so on. All of the kelim that were meant to be prepared in the shulchanot, nanasim, the knives and so on, all the lockers were prepared for usage. And then would come and report to each other, 5 a.m. and all is well, as we'll see. So that's where they would meet. So they were nechlekul. One went towards the Mizrach, one went towards the Ma'arav, but it means went towards. They kept walking. Obviously, they had to turn. They had to turn. One turned left, one turned right, so one turned on the eastern side, and one turned on the western side, and both of them had to proceed southwards along that way. And Ayobotkin Lochim, they would check as they walked, Achimagin Lamakom Oseh Chavitim, till they came to the Lishka of those who made the Chavitim, Higiu, when both came, because, of course, the ones that had gone, as we said, to the east got there first, but when they got there, Higiu, they would report to each other, Higiu Elu Ve'elu, Amru Shalom, Akol Shalom, all is well. Then Hamidu Osea Chavitim Lasot Chavitim. At that moment after they met, the next job was to get the people who were busy to make the Chavitim to start working on the Chavitim. And that's because even though the Chavitim were only brought, as we're going to see, after the Tamishel Shachar, it took quite a while to get it ready because you needed to have steaming hot water to do in order to do Pichavitan, and that took time, so we wanted to get them to work early, even though their job wasn't really meant to be applied until later.
The
Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol, it's brought every day. Half in the morning, half in the evening. So Misha's Achalik Tromatam is Bay, huh? Okay. The guy who was over on the pious gets right to work. Who you trom? Get to it. Vayim Omrim, and they tell him, now you watch out, baby. This is this guy's big moment. And he is obviously very excited. And he may forget to do Kiddush Yadayim Ragolayim. He's so excited. So he'll run and he'll grab.
He's going to remove the ashes, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not remove the ashes. It's a formal removal of the ashes. The real removal of the ashes comes afterwards. But the first, what he's going to do is the truma of the ashes. So that's one shovelful. We're afraid he's so excited. This guy's trembling with excitement. He may simply forget to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. And of course, it says Velo Tamutu. Kadesh Raglayim V'Yadayim Velo Yamutu. I mean, that would be a bad idea. So we tell him, okay, slow down. Do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim and Akior. And then you will find the Machta to use for the special purpose here of the Trumat HaDeshen. You'll find it in the corner. Bein HaKevesh LaMizbeach. B'ma'aravo shel kevesh. So let's take a look again at the picture that we have over here. Between the opening to the Heichal and the Mizbeach is an area that's called Bein HaOlam v'LaMizbeach, but as it goes southwards along the kevesh, it's also called Bein HaKevesh l'Mizbeach, is also called Bein HaOlam l'Mizbeach, simply because the kevesh has the Kedusha and the Mizbeach also, as we'll see. So this entire area is not meant to be gone into other than for purposes of Avodah. So basically nobody's going to see him now. He's going to be hidden by this. Mizbeach is very high, right? So this Mizbeach is completely blocks it. And since the Kiyar is over here, it's going to be blocked by the Kevesh, because the Kevesh gets to the height of the Mizbeach, which is, wow, it's enormous, right? Talking about 50 feet high, and this is 20 feet high, and this is 50 feet long, so the Mele, it's got a large area that is too high for anybody to see from the other side. So he disappears, as far as they're concerned. There's a moment that he gets between the Olam and the Mizbeach, he can't be seen. He's headed over to the Kiyar. So we tell him, and we tell him, after you finish doing the Kiddush Yadayim, you will find the Machta in the corner, next to the Kevesh. So at that point, he disappears, and they can't see him. And Ein Adam Nichnas Imo, nobody can see him, and he isn't carrying anything. Lo Ner B'Yadav. I mean, where's he going to put a Ner afterwards? It's dark. So he's Mahalek Lohar Maharacha, but he uses the light from the glowing coals on the Mizbeach. Remember, it's still early. It's not sunrise yet. So it's still early. And he walks to that light. Velo Yuro Imoto, nobody could see him because he was going to be covered at that point by the Mizbeach. And they wouldn't really be able to identify what he was doing. Velo Yushom Inet Kolo. They didn't hear anything until it got to the point where he pressed the button to raise the Mulchani. So remember, they would hear Ayushamin Kola Echa Saben Katim Mulchani Lekior. So the machine that would lower the Kior was very noisy. And when he raised it, the reason they would lower the Kior was because there was a bar of Mayim that was natural flowing water that would protect the water in the Kiyar in order that it shouldn't become Pasabalina, because it was left in a Kli, wasn't Mechuber underneath, then they would have to refill it every day. So Ben Katin came up with the idea to have the Kiyar attached to a pulley system that would lower it and connect its water directly to the natural springs. Then it wouldn't become Pasabalina. He had to raise the Kiyar back up in order to be able to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So at that point, everybody heard him.
So then they would say, okay, yeah. Either they would say, yeah, he got there, or they would say, the Arab gears that we have here, Yia 8. So it's time for us to get ready, because as we'll see, the moment that he finishes, they are going to be running to finish themselves, to do their own Kiddush HaDayim right away. So they wanted to be prepared too, if it says Yia 8. Kiddush HaDavar Aglav in Akior. So then he would go, do Kiddush HaDayim Raglayim, would take the machata, which was made out of silver, because of the chashivas of the Trumat HaDeshen. It wasn't made out of gold, because the Torah chasal, Mamonim Shal Yisrael, as we see in the gold, when he used gold for heated Mizbeach. And he was all of the Rosh HaMizbeach. First, he was Pinat HaGichalim Elech Ve'elech. He would first take the not completely burned Gichalim. They weren't like the upper Gichalim, which is charcoal. And he wanted like really completely ash. So he would set them aside. If there were any Evarim, we're going to see he had to take them and set them on the side. He would take the Mu'ukalot HaPnimiot, for the ones that were completely burned. They were all the way on the inside. Would take one formal shovelful. So he had no problem, because he only needed one shovelful. The ones who were going to actually take off all of them, they had a problem, because there was a lot of stuff still on his back that may still have needed to remain on his back in order to burn. They would have to fix things up in a way that allowed them to clean off the Mizbeach while not removing anything from the Mizbeach, which is a trick. We'll see that in a moment. So he, meanwhile, took from that, and he was Yorad. And the moment that he got down back to floor level, off of the Kevish, he made a U-turn. Because remember, he's going down the Kevish. The Kevish was to the Doron. He was facing Doron. He made a U-turn towards the north. And he made a U-turn on the side of the Kevish that was the opposite side of the one where the Kiyor had been. And that there was the Mizrach of the Kevish. At this point, everybody could see him, of course. He was B'Mizrach HaShel Kevish, would walk about 10 Amot towards the north, along the Kevish, along the eastern side of the Kevish. And at that point, 10 Amot from the edge of the Kevish, which is about 20 Amot from the top of the Kevish, he would put down those Gichalim in a small spot, 3 Tvachim, from the edge of the Kevish. So it's very carefully delineated here. The reason it's carefully delineated is because, as we saw, we learned out from the Pasuk, V'samo Eitzal HaMizbeach, and V'samo means Shelo Yefazer, it can't just be spread out. It's supposed to be in a small pile. And that place was magic. And the all of the things that were put there, which we'll see, included not only this particular thing, but also all of the Dishun HaMizbeach HaPnimi and the Dishun HaMenorah, was all put in the same place, as it said in the Pasuk on the Komadashen. So that place swallowed gradually the ashes that were put on it. And that was the Mokom Shenotni Mur'ata Of. So when you have to be Zorek, the Notzav Mur'ata of the birds that were brought on the Mizbeach was thrown to that location. And the Dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the Dishun of the Menorah, and that ended his job. So he completed now the Trumat HaDeshem. Ask the Gemara, well, which Aksadrot? How could there be Aksadrot in the Azarah? An Aksadrot generally means an enclosed veranda with wood columns that are around it, like the Spanish, you know, plaza.
A colonnade
with a roof. How could it be Aksadra? I thought, Atani Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Minayin she'eino sin Aksadraot Bazarah. How do you know that you don't build wooden Aksadraot? Talmud Lomar lo titalacha Ashera kol eitzetz b'zbach Hashem lokecha. How can you come? So what the Pasuk is saying is separately, lo titalacha Ashera. Okay, that's a particular thing for Avodah Zarah. But also, lo titalacha kol eitz, it's Mizbach Hashem Elokecha, which would include even a veranda. So how could they be possibly Aksadraot? Amrachist, it's a borrowed term. It's an architectural term rather than a construction term. And this was an Aksadra shel binyan, which in the shape of an Aksadra, but it was made out of, you know, shaped stones. which is actually there today. And they have a sadrot.
But in the Harbites.
Yeah, the Tamim over there, yeah. The answer is that it only looked like an aksadra. We're using aksadra as an architectural term, not as a construction term. As a construction term, it's done with wood.
Wood made from wood?
Nope, it was made out of stone, shaped stone. Hayu botkin velchin, until they got to the chavitin, and then they had the chavitin makers get to work. What do you mean? Why'd they get the chavitin makers to work? The chavitin isn't the first thing that's done. Why in the world did they have them start? I thought it says, how do you know you're not allowed to do any avoda before the tamid? Ha'ola, the thing that comes. I mean, the very first thing that's done in the day. Ha'ola means ola is rishana. Because we need to do revicha. In order to do revicha, we need to have boiling hot water, scalding water. That takes time. So therefore, in order to get the water ready, so that when you want to do the revicha on the mirchas kafitin, they first got them heating up the water. That's all. So Rav Yehuda lachem chamin l'revicha is what we're talking about. Adron alech b'shalosha mekomot.
B'ni nerev hamdu l'heli keperek.
Ra'u echav. So now...
That's making the cuckoo for the tea, that means.
That's how I'm coming to turn the water.
Very good. It's mamish. Everything is exactly, you know. Sometimes a little bit early, sometimes a little bit late. Go in and make him a chavitin. And Ra'u Echav, at that point, everybody saw that he's now finished the job. They had already been ready. Everybody was in his crouched position to his own run. And Ba'im. So they immediately start their run towards the Kiyor, because they all needed to do Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim to handle the Talmid, as we'll see. Miharu V'Kitshu Yadayim V'Raglayim and HaKiyor, and then they grabbed the various Magrefot and Sinorot that were there, and these were used for getting rid of the ash, or all of the ash on the Mizbeach. But they needed to be b'chalek between things that were ready to be removed and things that needed to be left on the Mizbeach. They are allowed to take off things from the Mizbeach if they're meant to be there. So what did they do? So they went up to Rosh HaMizbeach, and the Evarim and the Ptorim, that's what the Tzinorot were for. Tzinorot were like large pitchforks kind of things. Not as large as a pitchfork, obviously, but large forks that enabled you to take Evorim that were not yet devoured by the Eish, and those were still there. So they didn't take them off of the Mizbeach. They were Sokinotan Atzidei HaMizbeach, and put it to the side of the Ma'aracha. Now, if there was too much for the side to hold, imein hatzedadim mahazikim, you were even allowed to put things that meant to be on the Mizbeach, you could put them on the Kevesh. So you could put them on the Sovev, which of course, we know that the Sovev added completely to the Mizbeach, and the Sovev was the area that jutted out one arm above the Chut HaSikra, and that was also used at times for actual hakrava, because you have a ma'arocha there if necessary, and you could put it even on the kevesh if you ran out of space, or the Rambam learned the sovev, meaning on the kevesh at the area where it met the sovev, which was the easiest place to get to.
There was no fire then, that would just be...
You know, we don't need the fire, we're just putting it down temporarily, but we don't want to remove it from the Mizbeach. We're going to put it back on, but first we have to clean off the whole Mizbeach and make it fresh. Now we're going to put back these pieces back. They don't have to be burning the whole time, but they can't be removed from the Mizbeach. And then Echelu Ma'alin Be'efra Gabi Tapuach, they started raking. Richard, maybe you weren't Medayik in the Mishnah. Ratzim Uvatim. Miharu V'Kitshu. Ma'ko Shabbata. Kol ben Richi Shekhsuto. Maybe you weren't properly medayek. Ohev et atokachot, tova uvracha. Anyway, so they started raking up all of the ash, put it on the tapuach. The tapuach means exactly as the word means, tapuach. It was an area that was swollen with ash. It was a round pile of ash. And, oh, by the way, the tapuach, yes, tapuach haya b'emtza mizbeah. And man, I mean, there was a lot of ash on the mizbeah. Pamim shayu alav kishalosh meot kur. Sometimes they're like 300 kur, which is a little bit ridiculous to leave that amount of ash on the mizbeah. So, must be an exaggeration. The Gemara tells elsewhere that just as all the other 300, it's a loshon of guzma. And, I mean, here you're talking about something like 100 gallons, 100 gallon can. Yeah, that's a lot of ash. Uberagalim. Now, the question is how to read the above part. The Rambam reads it the way I just read it. In other words, the Seder Hayom, Tamid, was, he does the Trumat HaDeshen, which was immediately followed by the cleaning of the Mizbeach, except on the Regalim. The Regalim lo ayu medashnim oto, bibdeshu noy lemizbeach. Since during the Regalim, it's really the time where everybody comes to bring their carbon, and it makes a tremendous impression to see this enormous pile on the Mizbeach of ash, and because of that they left it, because it was considered to be a noy to the Mizbeach, just like on Pesach, for the Korban Pesach, they had the Kohanim walking in blood by closing out the drain. There's things that we do to stress the Aveda that we're doing. And Niyamav, you should know, I mean, the reason that we did left it there was not because anybody was lazy, because it's Yontem. There never was ever a problem, even though it wasn't a real Aveda, and it wasn't coveted, but there was never a problem of having people volunteering to do the actual Hotzaat HaDeshen. And no nitatzela kwe melotzi at HaDeshen, even though it was dirty work, and even though it was a pain, and there wasn't a lot of glory associated with it, it was always taken care of at the right time without any problems. To be continued. Whereas others learn that the description is not necessarily a description of every single day. It's as necessary. So that's what it's saying. In other words, the ash would gather, and at the point where it was time to take it off, they would take it off. That might be once a week, it might be once a day, or it might be 10 times a day, I mean, whenever it was needed. Rambam sees this as part of the Avodat HaTamid, not a logistical thing so much as every single day part of the end of the Trumat HaDeshen. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. Okay, I'm really sorry about that. Senior moments. Okay, here we are.
I went to Tarmac these 2 days ago, which I've been going, and we lit candles, comic candles for 700. You know, the commander and I, wow. My wife stood up in this thing, and he comes.
That's Sedla Havik National Shabbos.
And Aaron Klein.
It's when I started calling my wife Georgette that she started getting suspicious. Yeah. Okay, so we were holding on the Daf Chof Ches in the midst of the attack on the poor sleeping Levian and the sound of the screams that would come from the Azora. And as we mentioned yesterday, there's actually a big question here about whether the Kohanim, notice all the discussion has been Levi, were the Kohanim also attacked by this Mumunah, or were they beyond his Makel? And that seems to me a Machlokas and a Mepharshim. Some learned, and Haskinoch points out, there doesn't seem to be any heter whatsoever to burn the Bidei Kahuna. because there you have, besides the question of Baal Tashrit, which is, as the Rush points out over here, I mean, the language the Rush uses is Hefter Beit Din Hefter, which has nothing to do with Baal Tashrit. I mean, that just had to do with the, you know, the Gadaf. But others point out that even in terms of the Baal Tashrit, burning something for a purpose, which over here is to make an impression, the Takanat Chachamim,
gives
benefit to the Levine. Gives benefit to that individual person. Just apply my signature. Here we go. So the Shaila is, there's also the additional Yisra. You're not allowed to. Was not for drinking purposes, just to make a bracha. So how about that? So he learns that apparently that's why we find in many of the mefarshim that it was only Nogia ben Levi, and that's what it seems to be mashmi here. But I mean, in the Bartzura, it seems to take for granted that this is both the Kohen and the Levi, and that he would go around all of the 24 places, and anybody, including the Kohen, would get beaten up. And the question is whether, you know, the Rishus to be served for Beged apparently would not be chal, certainly on the Kohanim. And the last thing we learned yesterday was how Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said that his own uncle actually had this happen to him. And Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, you know, when Rabbi Yochanan used to come, Kimati Rabbi Yochanan, Muhammad Nitam, Mamar Hoch, this is on Daf Chof Ches, Omer Aleph, 7 lines down. And he would say, Ashrehem Rishonim. Look how, what a wonderful life these people had. How happy they should be. In our society, nothing matters. You know, there's always an excuse for anything. And you never pay a price. And if you never pay a price, there are no standards. And in those days, everything counted. And over there, even on Ones Shena, guy falls asleep. I mean, you know, okay, sometimes it happens. You can't manage. And nonetheless, even on that, they paid the price of getting beaten up, having their clothes burned, and so on and so forth. So if Kal v'chomer, imal oneshena, so over there, that they were also didn't even an oneshena, so al shar dvar ma'achas kama v'kama, that they were zahakpoda, to actually care about every last thing, and not to let you get away with things. As it says in the Braisa, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, ezohi derech yisharashi yivor lo ha'adam, and we know that in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, this is the famous Ma'amar of Rebbe, Koshi Tiferes Lo'Sera, Tiferes Lo'Mina Adam. Here he explains himself. Actually, there's a little bit of a machlokas here that Mepharish gives a very dope shot, because he's bothered by the contradiction between the Braisa and the Mishnah. And he says, well, Rebbe's just trying to give, like, sort of, you know, here's a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, to ask Ezra Derek Yeshua to say, here's a good thing to do is very difficult to believe. The Rashad says, that's hard to accept. So the pshat is that if you want to be Mekayim, going in a Derek Yeshua, you know, what is it that you can do that allows you to be Tiferes Lo'Mina? You'll have it at the Chachot. You should be grateful to anyone who points out what a jerk you are. Mm-hmm. As long as people are open to criticism, so then the world is a place which is on a path of getting better. But when people constantly try to justify it, unwilling to pay the price, then it's a disaster. And then if you have tochachot, then tova uvracha ba'im lo'olam, v'ra'a mistaleket min ha'olam. So that's one approach. By the way, you'll notice how strongly this stands connected the sugya that we had earlier about the Maisa of Agrippas. Where over there everybody was being kind to Agrippas, saying, don't worry, Agrippas, you are our brother, don't feel bad, when he was being korei in the parsha of the Melech. And over there, the Gemara says that from the time that the egrof, in fact, that's based on his name, Agrippas, the egrof of Chanifa, which is the Pashto translated as flattery, But basically it's the phoniness of accepting a different level in which, you know, it's the kind-heartedness, the good heart, the finesse. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's okay, Agrippus, you're doing your best. You really are brother. It's like, you know, don't worry about it. From that day on, it's fantastic, because this was the theme of Ayn Rand's Fountainhead. It was exactly this Nakuda. The Gemara says, from the time that Agrippus, that the Egrofa of Hanifa became so accepted in the world, it's an amazing thing. First of all, it says all of the dinim became screwed up, which is exactly what this Gemara is saying. Ashrayim Shavishon have din. You can't have din when there are no standards. But more, amazing Gemara over there says, Ein adam yachol omar l'chavero ma'asai gedolim mima'asecha. It's like, what do I have to tell the next guy? I'm better than you are. But the point is, if there's no standards, that's what the point that she made. If an architectural work, which is gainus, is compared, you know, well, you know, it's okay, so this shmo, you know, it's also nice, different. It's a different type of architecture. We'll accept that as well. I mean, it's more Grecian. And if it makes no difference, then what's the point of excellence? So you can no longer say, my work is better than your work. If you can't say that, and, you know, basically in a postmodern world, that's what it's all about. You know, if you happen to like Shakespeare, that's okay, but I mean, certainly there's nothing innately that tells you that Shakespeare is any better than, you know, the local romance novels, the Harlequin novels. I mean, it's a different taste. Now, once you do that, then there's nothing. There's basically no excellence, no din, no meaning. And this is what Rebbe is saying. If you want to have a Derech Yishara, that's how it follows directly from our Mishnah. Because here we see, it makes a difference. You fall asleep on your Mishnah, you say, well, what can I do? I've been up for three nights straight, and doesn't matter. They'll burn you up. They'll beat you to a pulp. You'll be screaming. And you're grateful for it. Because it meant that what you did mattered. And therefore, in the end, people appreciate the fact that it does make a difference. This is very, by the way, very bolate in homes where children are not disciplined. Yes. Where they end up feeling that there's no standards. Whatever it is that I do, it's okay. You're okay. I'm okay. We love you. Whatever you do, we love you. We stay behind you. And such kids are driven to suicide, ultimately, because there's absolutely nothing to live for. What could possibly make a difference? And this is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is pointing out. The Shita, this, by the way, is another riot from the Marsha against the Mefarish. What is that? What do you mean, Yeshomrim? If Rebbe is just coming to say, oh, here's a nice thing. I mean, Rebbe doesn't agree with the fact that it's a good idea to have a Emunah Yetera. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? So clearly, there's a difference over here in how to approach the sugya of Rebbe himself. So if you're looking for the Derech Yishara, just so you can taina, one thing that you can do is be open to criticism at all times. But others say that in your own integrity, Emunah Yetera, your own faithfulness, and acting always with integrity, you discover yourself what ends up to be fair. Because integrity is, by definition, responsive. Otherwise, it's not integrity. It's entirely self-contained.
This is Jnana Niyoma, to a certain degree.
Very much so, sure. Absolutely. So, here, Yavzik b'emunah yeterash, nemar, einai b'nei emanei aretz l'shevet imadi. Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Achmeni Omer Rav Yonatan Kol Hamochiach Et Chaveiro L'Shem Shamayim Zoche L'Chalko Shehakadosh Baruch Hu. Somebody who is concerned, here's the other side of it. And the Rosh understood the story before, and it seems poshut from the sugya, that before it was talking about Oivet HaTochachot, to be Mekabel Tochachot, grateful for somebody who tells you what an idiot you are. But the here we're talking about the somebody who cares enough to tell someone what an idiot he is, because that's, I mean, what do I care? I mean, everybody knows he's an idiot, but I got to be the one who's going to tell him he's an idiot and go through the whole issue of trying to explain to him what he looks like to other people and so on. So he's going to end up hating me. And what's the point? Someone who is mochiach et chaveiro l'shem shamayim, zoche l'chalko shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, zoche to be in the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar mochiach adam acharai. Someone who does to be a mochiach person, follow me. He's doing what he thinks that he's going to be resented for it. But the end result is that it's appreciated. And that's like a chut shel chesed, that shnim shachalav shlema, chen yimatzeh, always the lashon of chutzel chesed is related to finding chen in the eyes of others, like Esther. So chen yimatzei mimachalik lashon. Sure, it's easy to have an oily tongue. Let the other guy think that you think that he's fine. And this is what chanifa is all about. You know, yeah, you go through life. As soon as the guy walks out of the room, you know, you turn to your wife, you say, what a But yeah, sure, it's fine. So there's more chen you'll find by saying it like it is. Obviously, I mean, I'll pee the gidrei tochocha, as the Gemara explains elsewhere in Erechin, as we had great detail. Matz'o na'ul, biyadua, etc., etc. And we get finally to the end of the Mishnah, Misho atzelik romat ha-mizbeach, and then he should get up early. How early? Well, you never know when he's going to show up. Better be pretty early. But the mashmaut of the sugya is that if you get there first, then you're zocha. That's what it's mashma. I mean, I'm not saying get up and then we'll talk about it. And then the Mishnah continues on, and then, okay, then you'll enter the contest. You know, it's like this the kind of bait and switch kind of things that they do, you know, always. You have won $2 million, you know, then you get in there, you've won the right to enter a contest. The contest results will allow you to be part of a Hagralah, which maybe, you know, if you get all the answers, you say, gosh, these are easy questions, and then you, yeah, okay, they were for the other 300 million people also, you know, but then we'll do a Hagralah. So, I mean, that's not right. The Mishnah makes it sound like you can be Zolch, and then it says, let's go ahead and do a pious. So, Gufa Kasha. Amit Mishu rotze litrom et amizbeach mashkim vetovel at shalo yavar memuneh. Now, man, that sure made me think that I'm a lab of pious talya milta. It wasn't going to be a goral. It was going to be that I was going to get in. And then it goes on and says, okay, yavovi yifayes. I'm of a pious talya milta. Omer Abayas is a buyer, you're right. The Mishnah indeed seems to be referring to two contradictory situations, but lokasha. Kan kodun takadaka meyachataka. Now we know that initially there used to be a competition for who could get there, and then may the better man win. Then we made it dependent on chance, which is a pious. The original, the opening of the Mishnah is based on the way things used to be. And then when it says yavovi yifayes, that's a reflection of what was done later because of the takana, as we'll see in a moment. And the Mishnah, we often find that Mishnah ozazamim koma, the way that a Mishnah is originally constructed, reflects the historical record of how the takanot developed, and we found this to be a very important element in Zvokhin, how we could actually trace through the language of Mishnayot the development of various takanot, very much like the fossil record. And the Bedavka kept the Mishnah Rishana so that you would remember how it is that this came about. And the story was about the way that they needed to make the takana. As Ditznan, we had back in the Sugya Yuma, in the Mishnah, it says over there, Barishona komi shorotze litrom et amizbeach toreim. It used to be that, okay, a guy would come forward and he wanted to do it. He got there first and he would do the truma. If there were other people that managed to get there, bizman shehim merubim, so they had a race. Ratzin volim bekevesh, kol hakodem et chavero betoch arba amot, zachar. This kept the kohanim in good shape also, you know. I mean, the kind of diet they had, they needed to do a little bit of running. And now, if there were shnayim shavim, how about if two guys got to the line of the arba amot? It was a good idea to have it be arba amot, you know, because if they kept running to the end, they might find themselves on this way. So, Amar Lem Hatzbiu, he would say to them, okay, choose up. Umayin motzin achat or shavitei, put out one finger or two, but you cannot use your thumb. In motzin godol b'migdash, because it's too easy to cheat with your thumb. It can be easily stuck around the other side. It looks like it's over the other guy's head. The way they used to choose up was that the Mamuna would choose a number at random, not say it until everybody stuck out a thumb and say the number. And then they would start counting. They would take one of the hats and start counting. And wherever the number ended, that's where it was. If you had a thumb sticking out, you could easily make it look like it was the next guy's finger. There was somebody hidden behind you. So you didn't allow yourself. In any event, we'll get more into the piyasim later. So Maaseh, now there was once a Maaseh where Shishlaima Yerotz and Mala Mekevesh, V'dachapach Abim Betchavirov and Ishbara Raglo. This were the first bus lines, you know. They call them bus lines because of how you wait in line. And over here, that one guy pushes the other guy, and he falls, breaks his leg.
Actually, the Gemara in Yuma talks about a murder. But the Vedic Marzah, I understand. I mean, for the murder, we don't make a takana. For this, we do make a takana. And it's a very interesting yesod. Something, the Gemara says, something that is totally out of the norm, that happens once, you don't react to, because it's crazy. It's only, well, oh, now this already is more normal, and this is the second time this has happened. Now it's starting to be a pattern. So, but you don't react every time you know, like they do nowadays. They love to make it, you know, oh, we found one mitzvah in one place, which proves obviously the whole army stinks, you know, the war stinks, and so on and so forth. That's not the way to make a takana. In any event, kishiro beitim shayu ba'im lidei sakana hitkinu shelo yitormim et ha-mizbeach al ha-bapayis. Once they saw this, they made the pies. Rava says, look, I don't know what your problem is here in the Mishnah. Why can't the Mishnah be talking about Le'achar Takana, both in the opening words and then in the Bo La'afis? Va'achi katani, mishu rotze lavo. By the way, I brought in order to be able to do a show and tell today, you should find some fire right behind you.
Yes,
just bring it to the table because it keeps the shamrim on their feet. Just in case.
I'm full of sleep.
You know, I wouldn't want anyone not to be aware of, you know, Osim Zin. There we go. Yeah.
You can have fire, doesn't have to be there.
Yeah, there we go. This is how they did it.
Uh oh.
So what? Why is there no stira? Because it doesn't mean somebody who wants to come and can now do it because he showed up. Somebody who's interested in getting into the goral should be there on time because he's got to have his big tikkun all ready to go. That's all the Mishnah meant.
Then they could be
all
a group of people
in. And it's time for the pious.
That's
all of them. Yeah, and there's the Mishnah talking about Ma'akar Takana. Now, remember that there was a gate on the other side of the Beit HaMoked. So after the Mamunah shows up, he's going to open up the Pishpish now. Go, remember, as we learned before, you don't go directly into the Azara. You first go through the little Pishpish, which was a small door that wouldn't allow a lot of people in at once. And this was, again, Lichvodo. So we do the Balashut. We do first the check over the entire Azara. If everything is okay, then we open up the gates. So we gave them the Mafteach, and actually the Gemara explains it was a special place under the floor in which it was a safe in which the Mafteach was held. Mm-hmm. He then went in the inner door of the Beit HaMoked into the Azara, and all the Kohanim that were in the Beit HaMoked followed him, carrying avukot shalor, shtei avukot shalor biyadam, v'nechlakul shtei kitot, that they would split into two when they got out of the Beit HaMoked on the north. One group would go along towards the west, and one group would go towards the east. And now they went, are you mahalchim ba'achsadra derech mizrach, ve'lo mahalchim ba'achsadra derech ma'arav. Now remember that the way that the Azara was built was that the middle section, it was like a Spanish courtyard, in which you had a covered area around the outside, which was, you know, that beam supporting a roof. We'll see that was all part of the Evan. It wasn't something that was added afterwards, as the Gemara will explain. And then they would walk around the covered area in two groups carrying a torch. Again, this is all the Kavoda of the Zara. And they would split there on the northern side and then come around until they would meet at the Beit Aftinus again. So they walked derech Mizrach, el malchim derech Ma'arav, or yobotkim v'ochim. They would look around in every corner, make sure nothing was moved, nothing had been touched, that there was no chash, that tummy was nichlas v'sham. Ad shemagim l'bakom osim chavitim, osech chavitim. They came to the osech chavitim. Sorry, osech chavitim. I mean the chavitim. Higiu elu ve'elu. They both came. They would say to each other, elu ve'elu amru shalom, hakol shalom. Everything is in order. And after saying everything is in order, then that they were able to open up the gates. At that point, Hamidu Osim Achavitim, Lasot Chavitim, they would bring in, wake up the people who needed to make the Chavitim for the Kohen Gadol, that was the the special mincha of the Kohen Gadol, which was actually brought once in a lifetime by everybody, because it was also the minchat chinuch, same korban, that had to be brought for the first time when you were mechanech, your own avod in the Beit HaMikdash, and the Kohen Gadol would bring that mincha every day, except he would split it into two, half of the morning, half of the evening. And at that point, they started making the chavitim. Now, why that was done then, even though it's very early, is not clear, and the Gemara is going to ask that. Mish zachal yitrom et hamizbeach, hu yitrom. Now, the one that had earlier been zoch and the pious is now ready to do his job. They would warn him, don't touch anything. You know, this guy's raring to go. You know, these guys are sitting there, he's moving, you know, and he's just waiting for the bang. But what's going to happen is go bang, he's going to be so keyed up, he's going to forget to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragloyim. And of course, you're not allowed to do the Aveda unless you do Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragloyim. So they warn him, don't even touch anything. Not that there's an Isser in the Gia before Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragloyim, but the concern over here is that if he's not kept in order and get his mind straight, you know, he'll start touching things or whatever, they'll just go and forget about Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragloyim. So they tell him, make sure that you don't touch anything until you finish Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragloyim. Now, some learn that the following words are also part of the Hemam rule. That's how Mefarish understands it. The Rambam clearly does not learn it like that. And he learns Vihareh. Okay, so if you learn it, then it's all one thing. And by the way, when you finish your Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragloyim, you will find the Machateh, which you're going to use to shovel the ashes into. You will find it b'miktsoah bein hakevesh lemizbeach b'maravo shel kevesh. You will find it in the corner between the kevesh and mizbeach, to the west of the kevesh, facing the bayit. Now, first of all, let's just get the picture straight. We've entered into the eastern gate of the Beit HaMikdash. We're facing the entrance of the Beit HaMikdash. Right? In other words, we walked in from the Har HaZeitim side over here, came in, we see the binyan of the Heichal in front of us, blocked by the Mizbeach, and now the Machateh is not in sight of us, because it's on the other side, facing the Heichal. We get the noises now. The Kevesh itself, remember, although it's 32 amot long, same length as the Mizbeach, it's only 16 amot wide, which the Mizbeach was a square of 32. And therefore, there's a corner of 8 amot on either side, because the Kevesh was right up in the middle, so you have this little corner, and it's not little, it's a, you know, quite a nice size, 15-foot corner, and that in that corner was where they kept the Miktsoah, but it was facing the other side. Anybody standing to the outside of the Mizbeach, where we walked in, to the eastern side, is not going to see the Kohen once it turns around the edge. Now you'll say, well, okay, but everybody can go around. No, you don't go Bein Olam Olam Mizbeach, you see, unless you have business there. So there's even a sheet that it holds you can't walk Bein Olam Olam Mizbeach without doing Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragloyim, which is a question of how did he go there to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragloyim? That's where the Kiyor was. Right, so that, I mean, they have to say that, well, you did Netilat Yadayim first, and Netilat Yadayim, that would be enough, because you don't really need a kli in order to do it, but then you would actually go to the kibbutz. But the parsha is just an issur of knisa for no purpose, bein olam v'olam mizbeach, therefore nobody else walked there, he walked alone, and there, you'll never walk alone, and there, what happened is that nobody would see him. Ein adam nichnasimo, v'lo ner biyado. Now, he didn't, probably the correct way to learn this is, no one needed to go with him, because he didn't need someone to support or to hold a torch, because at this point already, he could see to the Ur on the Ma'aracha. And even though, obviously, I mean, that's being nene directly from the Yesh on the Mizbeach, that's not the purpose of the Yesh, is there not for light, the Yesh is there, you know, to burn the Avar. And, you know, it's like standing in the shade of the Heichal. I mean, if that's where you are, that's where you are. You know? So there's no problem for him to walk by the light of the Mizbeach. V'lo ha'yuroinotan, and nobody would see him. Nobody knew what happened to the guy. They didn't hear anything from him. And until they heard him turn on the amuchani, turn on that machine that Ben Katan had made, then they had a problem with the kiyor. The water in the kiyor would become posel, belina, at night, because the kiyor was a klisharis. It would be mikudash. And it was really a hassle every night to get rid of all the water, to start now refilling it, and some of this was an enormous kli. And so Ben Katin is remembered for his machine, which is called the Muchani, the machine, which was used to lower the kiyor underground and connect it to the Mayim that was underground so that it was no longer called in a kli, because Mayim that your Meshik is now bottled to the ground. Then it wouldn't become possible Lina. They would turn this thing on in the morning to lift up the kiyor from the ground, and it was sort of clanky, so you could hear it. You could hear the kiyor being dragged up. So then they knew that he was doing there. Actually, shomim kol ha'etz shasa ben katin muchani the kiyor ve'in omrim, and then they'd say, ah, he gil eight kiddush yerav raglav min ha'kiyor. Now, the truth is that this whole thing is very complicated, because what time was it? At what time, Baboka? That's the thing, you see. If the mashmaut of the Mishnah, the way we just read it, is that when he takes up the kiyor, there's no longer a problem of lina. But the problem is that what we were talking about getting ready for the Mamuna was in the middle of the night, Ikrot HaGevra, still before Alot HaShachar. In which case, even if you did kiddush Yadayim Ragliyim, the water will become posel at the moment of Alot HaShachar. And in fact, in Yuma, it's clear, they put it back down again. And that's what they heard. They heard it being lowered, so that it's only when it would come up the next time they prepared themselves, because it was close to the time, which they could do Kiddush Yadayim Ragliyim. Now, when was all this taking place then, that he actually went up to the Mizbeach? The Rambam learns that the Trumas HaDeshen was Dafka in the day. So that, I mean, according to everybody asks him, so what about the Gemara? I mean, the Gemara says that it was put back down. And then on the other hand, the Rambam says, and even though he was Mekadesh out of Aragla before the Neitz HaKama, but he didn't have to be re-Mekadesh out of Aragla Le'achar Neitz HaKama. It wasn't Nifsal. So even your own Yadayim were not, his own Yadayim weren't Nifsal Belina, which is a problem, because this is in the night. I mean, this guy could have been up the whole night. We tell him, don't touch anything unless you go ahead and you're Mekadesh out of Aragla. Therefore, many learn that the Trumas HaDesh, of course, this is a fundamental question, how to view the Trumas HaDeshen. Is the Trumas HaDeshen the end of yesterday's work? Or is the Trumas HaDeshen the beginning of today's work? You see? And the way that we're putting it over here in Tamid is that it's directly associated with today's jobs. And if you learn that it's the end of the Avoda of yesterday, and we're now taking the Deshen, finally completing the Deshen, then Lechora could be done now in the nighttime. That's the last thing that you do overnight when you burn the Yevorim. You'll now do the Trumas HaDeshen, and then starts the new day's Avodah, and you'll say, okay, we brought it in over here in Tamid more the same way that we brought in the going to sleep of the Kohanim. I mean, that's certainly from the night. So they went to sleep, okay. So the Trumas HaDeshen, they woke up early before it was the morning. The Rambam Shita clearly is that the Trumas HaDeshen was the transition. And the truth is, the Balei Kabbalah see it in exactly the same way. The concept of the Trumas HaDeshen Bichlal is that you often find, by the way, many hakbalot and many parallels between the way the Rambam views things and the way the Zohar talks about them. They just use different language. But the Trumas HaDeshen is viewed as the tikkun of what didn't work. There's always something left that isn't used in life. There's an awful lot of garbage. So even if all of your avod is acceptable, what about the garbage? What happens to that? Is that without any tikkun? The leftovers is nothing but ash that's left. You know, the Trumas HaDeshen is the tikkun of that, which in terms of tefillah, and again in the Hasidus, they view this as the tefillahs that were done without any kavanah, without knowing what you're at. That's the equivalent of the ashes, basically. Now, you know, it's useless, just burnt up wood. Didn't do anything. And here the Trumas HaDeshen is also absorbed into the ground by the Mizbeach. Basically, as an indication that even the attempts And the side issues that were connected to Yisrael's Avodah had that place in which there's a tikkun, and now there's a transition into a new day's Avodah in which you recognize that the past failures have been absorbed, so to speak, and we now move on to do a new day's Avodah. And this way, this was the reason there was a lot of competition to do this, even though it seems to be, you know, what's the big deal? Take ashes off of it there. Because it was the last, anybody who felt in his own life a desire to be metaken, the aspects that he wasn't able to use consciously. This was like a cleanup job, and people wanted it. It was competition to the point of murder. That's what usually we're trying to get a tikkun, we kill everybody else. Make sure we get the tikkun, and not the other guy gets the tikkun. In any event, yes.
Dina, how long did the water have to sit for it to?
Instantaneously. The transition between night and day, that's when it became possible. That's what Lina meant.
Yeah. Then have to go up and down, and why couldn't it have kept up until the morning after he did this and then put down?
You can't make it kosher. It's not the trick. You make it kosher again. You have to refill it.
Right. My question is, why was it down in the water if it only becomes a puzzle at...
Why bring it up and then put it back down again? I think what it talks about there in Yuma. But in any event, all of the issues become very clear when you realize Rambam's talking about before Netzach Amah. The truth is, once there's Alot HaShachar, nothing is going to become possible mitzad hadin. Right? So we were machmir. The truth is, any avodah that's done Alot HaShachar is already kosher. We're machmir to do avodah after Netzach Amah. Heir b'nei Am Yisrael.
What's
that?
When
yes. So that's what Rambam is saying. This I did, basically I prepared myself. I washed my hands, I had everything going and so on. Indeed, it was still night, but not a night that would actually have possibly crept in, but a chumrah that we had between Alos HaShachar and Netzach Amah. The actual Trumas Hadeshin was done then immediately at the Netzach Amah. So everything that we had before is not going to become nitzal between the transition between Alos HaShachar and Netzach Amah. Okay, so that's what the call that they heard. And then Yikra, then they really could be Makadish Yadayim Raglim at this point. Then he went, after Kiddush Yadav Raglim, Noto Makta Kesev, he took the silver shovel, Yalal LaRosh HaMizbeach, walked up to the top of the Mizbeach, Pina at the Gekalim, Helek HaHelek. He now moved the ash to either side, because the mitzvah here is to take not from wood ash, but to take from the carbonized remnants of the Evarim. It says, Hi awala ala ish kol alayla, right? So it's burning, al-mogdar ala ish kol alayla. And that is what is supposed to be taken. It's supposed to be taken by him, at least according to most of the Rishonim. According to the Rambam, the Mashmaut is that the entire Maracha is viewed as now part of that Ola. You don't have to be medactic to take dafka organic, it's all organic, obviously, dafka animal remnants and not vegetable remnants. But he would move the large coals, because you're not supposed to take coal, you're supposed to take deshen, which is basically ash. And then chotetamu kolota pnimioti took the consumed parts all the way inside that were completely burnt out. Yorad, he then went, walked off the Mizbeach, and he was now, remember, to walk down the Mizbeach when we're watching from the east, we see him walking down towards the south. So he's walking down the left now of the Mizbeach, from our point of view. He's going down to the south side, he gets to the south, and now he's got to turn to the... He's got to get to the place where the mokum of the Trumas HaDeshen was. And according to Rivet, this was a Kabbalah, one of the halakas that were makubal, where it should be. You know, Shmuel was makabal all of the dinim. Although the Gemara learns it out from the din of the Mura of the Notza, that you're supposed to throw it. We learn out how far you can throw it. Okay, but in any event, he got down to the bottom of the Kevesh, and he now had to walk back. But he walked back along the east side of the Kevesh towards the north. So now we watch him walking from left to right. From our point of view, we're at the door. And he would walk approximately Esther Amot from the edge. And that's where he put the Gekalim on the Ritzpah, 10 Amot from the end, three now tvachim away from the actual side of the kevesh, makom shenotnim murata oath. That's the same place where the mur'ah, which was torn out of the oath, was thrown away, which it's a machlok, is how much the mur'ah consists of.
Is it the
gizzard? Yeah, but it also includes the intestines that are pulled out, but that's already not our sugya. And as we saw earlier, the dishun mizbeach apnimi, the dishun amenorah, which was absorbed in that place into the ground. As the Gemara, you say that the Kohanim split into two groups, the two torch-carrying groups, and they would walk towards the right and the left, in other words, towards the east and towards the west, under the Aksadra. But how is there an Aksadra? You have an Aksadra Ot Bazara. Because the portion of meaning of an Aksadra is a wooden, what do you call those open porches, the Spanish open porches?
Portico?
Yeah. It was like a wooden portico that went all around the Azara. And there couldn't be such a thing, because as the Brises, Etani Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Minayin She'ino Sin Aksadra Ot Bazara, where do we see that we don't make wooden binyanim in the Azara at all? And the normal Aksadra portico was made of wood. That was its beauty. So how do we know we're not allowed to even do that? Talmud Lomar, Lo Kitalecha Asherah Koleitz Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha V'Hachi Ka'amah. And what it's saying, this is all part of the Brisa, Lo Kitalecha Asherah. A. Furthermore, Koleitz, meaning Lo Kitalecha Koleitz Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha, which includes building anything of wood that would be kavua in the Azoras. How could they have built Aksadraot? Reb Chisda, who said Aksadraot are wooden Aksadraot? Aksadraot means the architectural shape was the shape of an Aksadra, but it was part of the actual construction, the initial construction of the Azara, and it was Aksadraot Shel Binyan, was built out of the same stone that the Azara as a whole was built with. Hayu Bodkin Valchim, until they got to the place where they make the chavitim, and then they would bring the Kohanim in to make the chavitim. What the heck were they doing with the chavitim at this hour? I mean, you have to wait until you bring the tamid. You can't do anything before you bring that first ola. That's going to take some time. So, lemeimah the chavitim avikedime? Are you trying to say the first thing that was going to be brought on the mizbeach was the chavite kohen gadol? V'atanya minayin she'in davar kodem l'tamid shel shachar. Famous prices brought so many times in Shas. You can't bring anything on the Mizbeach before the Olat HaTamid that was brought in the morning. Talmud Lomar V'arach Aleha HaOla. You put the Ola on the Ma'arocha. And as Rabba pointed out, at least that's the years over here, that it's the HaOla, not just Arach Aleha Ola, not just put olos on the ma'arocha, but rather the olah that opens the day's work, that opens the service of the yom, that is what needs to be put on, which tells me it's the olah rishona. The hey ha'yidiyah gives it a particular function, and that's its function. It's part of the seder of the ma'arocha. Reb Yehuda, the reason that we woke up the oseh habite was not because that's what was going to be done first. It's because that's what takes an awfully long time to prepare. Because the chavitim, you make them fresh. And part of the malacha of the chavitim was that it was done by chalita. So you would need a lot of boiling water to pour over the flour, which then you would do the lisha with, and then do the afia with, and it's a long process. The boiling of the water itself takes a long time. Huh?
To preheat the oven.
Preheat, not the oven. Yeah. So, lahachem chamim l'revicha. What we need here is hot water in preparation for doing the revicha of the flour, and only then were they able to start making it. So, heck, they better get to work early. Oh, sorry. Hadron alach b'shosham mekomot.
B'li neder. Not doing the heilig of Eretz Sheni.
Ro'uhu echav sheyarad. So the echav ha-kohanim would see now that he was getting off of the kevesh, which means that it was, they only had about a minute until he was going to put the deshan down. And they started now, you know, moving. They're ready to take off from the finish line. Ve'im ratzimu v'im. They now run to get to do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, so they could start doing their Aveda. Mi'aru v'kitshu yadayim raglayim and akiyor. Remember that all of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is in Parshas Tzav, because ain't Tzav al-Loshon Ziruz. Kohanim Zerizim, and you notice everything is done in moving fast. Mi'aru. They were sitting. That's right. And then they would be Mekadosh Yadayim Raglayim and Akiyor. Notlu et amar grefot v'tatzinorot. Now they would grab the rakes, as we'll see in a moment, what that was for, and the large fork-like devices that were used for taking a worm that was still there. V'alula rosh ha-mizbeach, they ran up to the top of the mizbeach, ha-evarim ha-abdarim, shalonit achlu. Now the evarim, of course, evarim only referred to the ola, because no evarim were put, evarim is meat. No cuts of meat were put on the Mizbeach of any other carbon but the Ola. And the Pidarim, which would be the Emurim of any carbon. Anything shalonitaklumi by of anything that hadn't been consumed overnight. They didn't take it off of the Mizbeach completely, because then when the sun rose, it would become possibleina. But as long as it's on the Mizbeach, it doesn't become possible. So kimotamatsidea Mizbeach, they would put it towards the edge of the Mizbeach. And if there was too many, imenat stadim marzikim, then sorimotam bisoved. Remember, there was an ama soved, in which there was an exit, actually, on the kevesh, halfway exactly up the mizbeach, and you would be able to exit there, and there was a ledge. You walked around that ledge to do the things that were done towards the lower part of the mizbeach.
Huh? That's what they put on the silver?
When there was too much to go on the edge of the actual Maroch on top.
And that's enough to protect it from the...
Yeah, that's still the top of the Mizbeach. So that would hold it and prevent Lina. And then they went ahead and they chevel ma'alin be'efra gabatapuach. And then they would start raking, and that's what the rakes were for. They would start raking the ash till the tapuach. The tapuach was called the tapuach. It was tapuach. Swollen there, round, like a round, large collection of ash that was put in the middle of the Mizbeach. Now, we've talked earlier, actually not in Talmud, but we've spoken before of the Machlokes, as to whether the taking out of the ashes, as opposed to Trumat HaDesh, please do not confuse the Trumat HaDesh, which we just finished, with the Hotza'at HaDeshem. It's two completely different issues. The Trumat HaDeshem, remember we had a machlokas how to understand the Mishnah, whether the Trumat HaDeshem is the thing that's matir now, not the mitzvah that we have as a me'ila, or whether the actual Hotza'at HaDeshem, which was taken outside of the city Bichlal to a different place, that's HaChomash Shlishit, they say that they discovered. The mokum in which they would have the deshen, not the mokum in which you would put the trumas deshen, which was a small square that was unmarked, but which was known where it was on the floor. This is something else. This is bushels and bushels. I mean, according to the way the Mishnah has it here, we'll see that the Gemara says it's an exaggeration. But I mean, you could have tons of ash that was coming off of the Mizbeach. And we add a machlokus whether this is something that's done every day, as the Ravid suggests, or whether it's done as necessary, which is the way the Rambam understands it. And we'll see in the Mishnah, I mean, they ask on the Raven, the Mishnah, it's clear that there were times when a Bedavka didn't do it because it was annoyed for the Mizbeach, in which case if it was really a mitzvah, how could they decide not to do it? He says, no, okay, that's all part of that. So, yeah. And so they would make the ash on the tapuach. And by the way, tapuach haya b'emsa Mizbeach, pamim shayu alav kishalosh meot kur. Sometimes they have like 300 kur, which is an immense amount of ash. They didn't take off the ash during the regalim, just so that people should sense how busy the Mizbeach is, all of these thousands and thousands of carbonas. As the ash grows in the middle, it gives you a sense of, you know, Manhattan never sleeps. And so, it's a noil Mizbeach. Nonetheless, now you would think, and here's the perfect opportunity to be lazy.
To be lazy.
They give you the job of taking out the deshen. So first of all, it's a crummy job. It's a dirty job. It's a cleanup job. But the worst part is, that you're thinking to yourself, it's a thankless job because the Mizbeach looks nicer with it. What do I got to take it out? There's all kinds of rationalizations that allow you to maybe not run when it comes to that job. But nonetheless, b'yomav lo nitatzel kohen milotzi et hadesh. Never did we find, despite all of this, that when somebody got the job of Otzat Adeshen, that he didn't do it with that same zerizut. This is what washing dishes is all about. There's a zerizut in doing what you got to do to clean up also, even though there's plenty of reasons to figure other things to do.
The unburned pieces, what happened to them?
We're going to get to them. Hechelu ma'alin b'gezirin v'saderet ha'marachana. They still could not put the unburned parts back on the Mizbeach yet. Because in order to have the Mizbeach working, you needed to have a new maracha. On top of that new maracha were put the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim, which were themselves part of the Avodas Hayom. So besides, what I'm going to tell you is the way it works out best through all the Rishonim, in my opinion. What you have over here is, according to the Yerushalmi, which the Rambam does not bring as a separate halach, and everybody wonders why, and I think it's clear what he's doing. Yerushalmi says you must have the Eish before you have the Eitzim. Now that doesn't make any sense, because the only thing you burn is the Eitzim. Right? But the Diyuk and the Pasuk is the Eish is ala Mizbeach, and then you put the Eitzim ala Eish. And what is that supposed to mean? And the Ritva makes a whole big thing about this, that you have to make sure that you bring Eish that has to be ready there now to put onto the Maracha when you put it there. And so everybody wonders why the Rambam doesn't talk about it. The truth is that there were two stages. What you first did is you set up what you would do in a fireplace. Wood that would then be capable of catching and burning the Maracha, which required Shnei Gezirei Eitzim, which were basically boards, not just korot, that fit over the entire area of the Maracha. That was burned as a particular carbon, which the Eitzim and the Eish needed to be there before. That's how he's understanding Yerushalmi. So what we're talking about over here, first, is the Seder of the fireplace, so to speak, of the Maracha, which was done in a very professional manner. You needed to know how to set it up in such a way that there would be air that was going through it, there would be enough place to have flammable materials between the Eitzim, thin pieces of Eitzim, and so on.
Fire was out.
This, now you moved everything out. You're starting over. Okay? Although according to Rambam, again, we have a mitzvah that there should be Eish al HaMizbeach tamid. And that you never let the Eish al HaMizbeach go out completely. You'll use it to relight. Others don't learn like that, that it's an actual mitzvah of tamid. If it goes out, so you wait till the next morning, you'll be mesader the maracha. In any event, you brought up now Eitzim. And notice that it doesn't say what Eitzim. It just says, B'gzirin mesader et ha-maracha. So what does that mean? V'chi kol ha-Eitzim k'sherim l'maracha. If you don't specify, you seem to imply that you could use any type of tree. Is that true? Hain, yes, it is true. Kol Eitzim k'sherim l'maracha. All were kosher except for two. Only Geffen and Zayit cannot be used on the Maracha. I mean, you're always going to wonder about that. I mean, Geffen and Zayit seem like pretty good aids. Why can't you use them on the Mizbeach? Avo be'elu hayu regilim, just you should know that what we used to use as a matter of course was marbiot shel te'ina, branches that came from a te'ina, v'shel egoz, v'shel eitz shemen. Eitz shemen is interesting because according to the Aruch, eitz shemen is what we call orem. It's called eitz shemen because of the flammable materials, as in that the resins, turpentine, and so on. And that burns very well, pine. So they would use that on the maracha on which they put the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim. Siderat ha-maracha gedola. Now there were more than one maracha, as we'll see. But there was a maracha gedola, which was where the Evarim were burned. And this was mizracha, towards the opening door, on the east side. The chazitam is roch, and it had a chazit to the east side. Now some learn, like the Rambam, that chazit merely means that the edges of the wood were placed east-west, not the north-south, so you could see the Seder. But others learn that chazit means a window. In other words, it was arranged in such a way that air would be blowing through it, which is why it faced the east, because the main movement of air through the Beit HaMikdash was from the open door in the east, where the wind would blow in, go through the Atzei HaMaracha to keep it burning nicely. And that was the chazit, which therefore, of course, faced the Mizrach. Roshei Gzirin HaPnimiim, now the edges of the wood that you were setting up here would go all the way up until the tapuach in the middle. Remember, this is an awfully big ma'aroch here because the mizbeach is 32 amos. I mean, you're talking about something which is, it's 50 feet square, the place where you would be burning. And so the edges of the gezirim would be touching up against the tapuach. The revach haya ben agzirim piled the wood up so that each piece touched the next. There was place left for the alita. Shoyemetzitin et alita bisham. Most learned this means that the thin pieces of wood, which have the same idea as an alia. An alia was the fat tail. So we borrow that term to use for wood. The fat tail of the wood, so to speak, was easily burned. That you would put it in there. The Rambam learns the Alita specifically was meant the ignition material for the Ma'aroch of the Ketoret, which was the second Ma'aroch, was taken from there, is how he understands it. Biru Misham. Now, in the place where they kept the Eitzim, they would choose some beautiful Te'inim Yafim, beautiful te'ina, because they needed wood that would not turn into just ashes. They needed something that would have long-term charcoal in order to put the ktoret on it. And this was for the second ma'aracha, v'sideret ha'maracha ha'shniya la'ktoret, and that was placed k'neged ma'aravit dromit. It was put towards the obviously western side, because he needed to take it from there to bring the ktoret inside of the heichal, so it was on the west. It would be a little ridiculous to have the east side have to go and walk around now all the way around to the other side. And it would be towards the south of the Mizbeach, near the Keren. Now obviously, as the Gemara was Madaik in Yuma, this Tana, we have this in Zvokim, this Tana holds that the Mizbeach was completely in the northern half of the Azara, which means that the only part of the Mizbeach that was right across from the doorway to the Heichal is the part that's right near the Keren on the southern side. The doorway was wide enough that it covered an area that extended a little bit past the Keren. So therefore, according to this Man Yomar, you'd have to have, in order to face the Heichal, obviously it had to be on the west, but it wasn't enough to be anywhere on the west. It needed to be near the Keren and Klape Tzafon Arba Amod Ba'omed. And then you would take approximately, it was about 4 amas, and you would take approximately 5 sa'im of Gecholim. And those 5 sa'im were in order to allow you 3 sa' in the end for... There you go. Okay. That's a nice picture. Thanks.
Oh, that's
cool. Have that. Good old art. Okay, so this man, the Amar, holds that the Mizbeach starts at the midpoint and goes north, which means that the only part that's connected to the doorway... you see the doorway, if you look at the line that extends from the doorway to the Mizbeach, the middle of the door wasn't connected to the Mizbeach. So you'd have to move this now, klape the edge of the Mizbeach, where the Keren was, right? The Keren was right at the edge. Move it inwards, because you had an Amma, which was for the Kohanim to walk. So it's now, the Keren itself was an Amma. The Kohanim walk another Amma. So you have about 4 Ammas from the edge of the Keren which is connected the door to the Heichal, according to this Man D'Omer. Obviously, if you hold the Mizbeach with smack bang in the middle, then none of this would apply, because then you would have had to have it
anywhere
more clop, not anywhere, but more clop fixed up front, have to connect the door, and that wouldn't cover the entire 32 amas of the Mizbeach.
The door was in the north.
Huh?
The door was in the north.
No, the door is in the middle. So the but the door extends both north and south from the middle. So the northern part of the door extended along the Mizbeach, right? Look at, show him the picture, please.
Ten amas along the door.
Yeah. So you needed space. You needed, you had five amas, basically. Once you took off the Karen, you only had four amas. So you're left with four amas, which is connected to the door. Okay, let's just get to the Gemara. I guess we're almost finished here. I know you're getting impatient because it's so exciting. Let's just do a little bit more here. Is it clear? Everything clear? The art scroll was really much clearer. If you could show our president the art scroll here.
What's supposed to be happening in that area?
We're making the Maraka Shnia for Ketoret, which you would then put into, you would shovel it up. They didn't use gold to shovel it because it would wound the gold. And you'd pour it out of the silver shovel into the gold shovel. In the transition, you were bound to lose some gecholim. So they started with five, and then they would figure you'll lose two. And the three is what was necessary for the ketoret. Okay, so approximately, the word ba'omed over here with an ayin is really ba'omed with an olive. Approximately, chamesan gecholim. You need extra on Shabbat because you also burn the Bezichei Lavona that you take off of the Shulchan just on Shabbat. And remember, those Bezichei Lavona are the equivalent of the Kometz for the Shtei Alechem. This becomes now the Matir of the Shtei Alechem. And that was burned in that area, and you needed not the Lechem Aponim, the Lavona.
It wasn't that big, though, was it?
It wasn't burned on the incense? Really?
No. The only thing burned on the incense was incense. Yeah, it was also burning the minos. And you needed an extra three kavim over there, of gecholim. Hayevarim avavdarim, and now we finally get to what has been bothering our president, because he's kept in mind these poor Evarim and Fedorim that are sitting there languishing on the edge of the Mizbeach, waiting for their tikkun. Some of them all the way down in the Soveiv. So those Evarim Uptarim Shaloni Tachlumi Ba'erev, Machzirino Tan LaMaracha, we put them now on the new Maracha. V'itzitu Shtei Marachot Be'esh, Yardu Uva'ulayam LaVishkat HaGazit. And then the Kohanim would, when they finally lit the fires, they would then get down to the Lishkat HaGazit, where it's time for the next pious.
Next?
Well, we'll get there in our next mission.
For the next?
The next choose up. Who gets to do the exciting avodas of the day? Including the Torah. What time shall we meet?
Somebody hold it out. 7:30.